This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Jeff Aiken, Principal Planner, and Michaela Dunphy, Commute Programs Assistant for the Cascade Bicycle Club. Jeff and Michaela are here today to tell us about the City of Seattle's 2014 Bicycle Master Plan, which was unanimously approved by the City Council April 14th. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Would you like to start by saying a few words about the Cascade Bicycle Club?
Sure. Cascade is one of the country's largest bike clubs. We have about 16,000 active members, do big group rides like Seattle to Portland that has 10,000 people and Chili Hilly. In addition, we do education programs to teach kids how to ride. And then a lot of Michaela and I's work focuses on policy and advocacy, creating safer conditions for people to ride.
How much bicycling currently takes place in Seattle?
Well, a lot. 1 million is really the number that I want you to remember. 1 million is the number of trips that were taken over the Fremont Bridge last year. So that's really huge. So we're noticing a lot of changes in Seattle and really around the country. Millennials, those ages 18 to 24, are moving to cities where they know they'll be able to ride a bike or take a bus to work as opposed to having to drive a car. So, for example, one of my coworkers recently moved to Seattle because she knew she would be able to easily ride her bike everywhere. And so that was really a draw for her. In reality, 50% of Seattleites own a bicycle, but only 4.1% are currently commuting by bike. So we have a lot of room for improvement, and that's what's so exciting about the new Bike Master Plan. We're going to make it possible for those 50% who own a bike to actually feel more comfortable riding.
What influences whether people choose to travel by bicycle?
There are a lot of influences. I know Jeff and I both bike to work a fair amount, and there's definitely days where it's rainy and dreary, and we might decide to take a bus or take Zipcar, but to be honest, weather and topography, so the hills in Seattle, really aren't the biggest influences. Safety is really one of the biggest concerns for a lot of people. 60% of people in Seattle are interested in riding, but they're concerned about safety right now. So we're really working to make it more comfortable, convenient, and safe for that 60% to feel comfortable riding. And the new plan really focuses on protected facilities that will really enable and empower these people to start riding.
Well, we're going to focus on the 2014 Bicycle Master Plan, but there was another Bicycle Master Plan back in 2007. What was accomplished by that 2007 plan?
The 2007 plan was really successful. About 60% of it was implemented over this seven-year span. About 150 miles of new infrastructure, on-street markings, and bike lanes and sharrows were all provided. But really, when we look back at 2007, you know, that was before we saw our first iPhone and things. And so bike planning technology and the infrastructure for that 60% of the interested but concerned has really changed. So while the 2007 plan was successful at getting to that 4.1% mode share, those people who identify themselves as strong commuters, bike riders, we're really looking now to provide facilities that move on to the greater amount of people in the city who want to ride.
What was the process for the 2014 Bicycle Master Plan, and who was involved?
I have to commend SDOT and the City of Seattle for a great public engagement process, really wide-reaching. Started in 2012 with really gathering background information through open houses, reaching out to freight, reaching out to transit and other groups to see where conflict issues were, where people wanted to ride, where people didn't feel safe riding. And out of that came a second phase of engagement that led to some lines on the map of where people might want to go, where we might look at bike infrastructure. A whole second round of open houses, comment periods. They did an online lunch and learn where you could just log on from your desk at work if you couldn't attend a meeting to learn about the plan. And then the third phase was going through the final draft and really talking about the education programs, the infrastructure, the parking at the end of trip facilities, all of that.
It was really incredibly collaborative. And I think what's really exciting about the plan is that it will continue to be collaborative. The city will continue to engage neighborhood greenway groups as well as community members in neighborhoods across the city. And so that will continue during the implementation process of the actual plan.
What are the goals of the 2014 Bicycle Master Plan?
The three biggest goals are safety, and safety. So those are really a top priority of the plan. I don't know about you, Diane, but when I'm riding through the city, I want to be riding on a safe, protected facility where I really have time to enjoy my surroundings, where I have time to soak in all of the sights, where I have time to maybe smell freshly baked bread, riding by a bakery, really be able to absorb everything that Seattle has to offer. I think that's one of the really powerful and empowering things about the bicycle. You really get to appreciate your surroundings. And so I want to be able to do that comfortably. And the Bike Master Plan really will help create that connected, convenient network so that I can ride from my doorstep to my workplace or the library or the grocery store and do that with relative ease and be able to really appreciate all that my surroundings and that Seattle has to offer.
Safety and ridership were the two goals that continued on from the 2007 plan. But then the great thing about 2014 is they added equity. How do we make sure everyone in the city lives within 2 or 3 minutes or a quarter mile of a safe, comfortable facility? They added in connectivity. I think we've all been on a ride or out there where the bike lane ends and we're kind of stuck trying to figure out where we go. So really how we connect neighborhoods across the city. How do you get from East Lake to downtown, down to Columbia City? Different connections there. And then livability. How does the bike plan, how do these transportation options in your neighborhood create a more livable neighborhood, allow people to easier get to local businesses and shops and those type of things? So really creating great neighborhoods, which is, you know, the Greenways and Kathy Tuttle's group is really about how you create a walkable, safe, comfortable neighborhood. And that livability goal really gets at that.
What type of bicycle networks are proposed in the plan and where will they be located?
The plan really focuses on protected facilities in every neighborhood around the city, especially areas that might have been underserved in the past. And we really want to try to engage everyone. And we want facilities that are within a quarter mile of everyone's doorstep. So imagine being able to walk outside and ride your bike, and within a quarter mile, you'll be within some sort of bicycle facility and then be able to use that facility all the way to your destination. That's really exciting. The plan really prioritizes connections to schools and hospitals, workplaces, neighborhood commercial centers, parks, and grocery stores.
I think if you had one word to really kind of sum up the network, you know, separated, and that's separated from traffic and vehicles. So whether that's on a local neighborhood greenway, which is a slower street with limited traffic, or whether it's on a protected bike lane, which is a bike lane that usually has a physical buffer to separate you from cars, whether planters, some sort of barrier, curb separation, parked cars. So people with families, if you have kids riding with you, people who aren't as comfortable on their bike, are separated from that traffic. And so it does create that level of comfort, which the 2014 plan was, how do we get the people who are interested in cycling, may want to get out there more, but aren't necessarily cycling now, what sort of facilities and infrastructure get those people on bikes? And so that's really the person the plan was designed around.
So the 2007 plan was more of just putting bicycle lanes in the streets, whereas the new plan is new types of facilities that are separated.
Exactly.
Yeah. And these new types of facilities won't just make cyclists more comfortable, they'll really make everyone on streets more comfortable. So drivers, people taking public transit, people crossing the street at intersections, it will just create a little bit more predictability so everyone feels more comfortable navigating.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Jeff Aiken, Principal Planner, and Michaela Dunphy, Commute Programs Assistant for the Cascade Bicycle Club. Our topic is the City of Seattle's 2014 Bicycle Master Plan, and you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. How will bicycling infrastructure connect and interface with other transportation modes?
Well, we're multimodal. Sometimes we walk, sometimes we bike, sometimes we drive a car or take Uber or Zipcar. And pretty soon, we might even have autonomous vehicles. So technology is really changing. And, you know, it's reassuring that for at least part of our commute, we can use a piece of technology that has remained essentially unchanged for the past 200 years, like the bicycle. But in reality, all of us might not be able to bike from home to our workplace because of distance or whatever reason. So We want to have facilities near high-capacity transit stations so that biking really can fit into a longer multimodal commute, so that we can bike a mile to a transit station, hop on a bus with our bicycle, take the bus a little bit closer to work, and then hop on a bike and then ride the rest of the commute. So multimodal is very important for everyone in our city, really.
In my family, I have a 4-year-old son, and we have the opportunity not to be car-free, but have one less car. So I commute by bike most days. Some of those days when I'm tired or it's pouring down rain, take the bus up the hill. But really, I think it's about creating more options for how people get around. Some of the research shows that about 40% of our trips are under 3 miles. So can we make those easily bikeable? You might drive or use transit for the longer ones. And the other big thing, I think, with the multimodal that Michaela talked about was bike share will be coming. And so then we'll really have the opportunity to, tourists can take light rail in from the airport, grab a bike share bike, ride to the waterfront where we'll have a separated, protected bike lane that runs along the whole length of the waterfront. So, you know, there's really great opportunities to connect all of these transportation options and get where you need to go.
And the plan really focuses on ensuring adequate short and long-term bike parking at all of these transit stations around the city. So we'll really be working with Sound Transit and Metro to make that happen.
What is the specific plan for bicycle infrastructure in the downtown area?
Downtown is exciting. I know a lot of us have ridden Second Avenue, and it usually gets the press as one of the more dangerous spots in the city to ride. But the plan will really focus on creating protected bike lanes through downtown Seattle. So once again, those are those separated facilities from traffic that'll make it more predictable for the people in the cars, the pedestrians, and the bikes. And so there will be a separate facility on the waterfront that is 14 to 16 feet wide. It goes in both ways so people can ride up the waterfront. Protected bike lane on 2nd Avenue, so it'll make that facility much safer and that going straight through downtown, and then on 4th Avenue as well, coming in the future. And then there will also be east-west connections on Spring and Seneca, I believe, and Pike to get you in and out of downtown Union. So really a great solid network through downtown. And also, just importantly, the connections south on Dearborn, Martin Luther King, and other streets to be able to get people into downtown as well.
Would you say more about the specifics of a protected bike lane and what that infrastructure actually looks like?
Sure. It really has depended on the context, but Seattle is opening one of their first kind of new designed ones at Broadway. But really, that has a curb separation and also parked cars to separate bikes from the moving traffic and in the streetcar in that case. We see ones in Vancouver that have large kind of 3-foot diameter planters to separate bikes from traffic. There is the plastic bollards, but really separating either through a physical barrier or an elevation change to keep those cars and bikes separate and add predictability. And they also include bike-specific traffic lights, which have really shown to increase compliance of all users in terms of following the laws. On that, they add special crosswalks and other features to really ensure the safety and visibility as people are reaching intersections where most car-bike conflicts occur is at the intersection. So whether you have a mixing zone where cars can see you and vice versa, whether you have separate light phases so there's not a right turn conflict. But really state-of-the-art design, and Broadway will be opening up April 30th, I believe, and a grand opening on May 16th. So I encourage everyone to go out and give that a ride and see what they think.
What is being proposed to ensure that bicycling is possible and appealing for people of all ages and abilities? What are the specifics there?
Well, that's really at the forefront of the plan. Like we were just talking about, protected bike lanes really are going to help enable that 60%, those people who are interested in riding, but a little bit concerned about safety right now. That's really going to enable them to start riding by using a protected bike lane or a neighborhood greenway. And so neighborhood greenways are a really important piece of the plan as well. So those are bikeways on slow speed, low trafficked residential streets that are safe for everyone to bike on, to walk on, whether you're an 8-year-old kid or an 80-year-old grandmother. And they're more than just a signed route. They are designed and engineered to be slower and more comfortable for a bicyclist.
We are seeing in other cities that greenways especially really start to create the demand for the safer facilities on our busier streets. People get used to riding on those greenways, that feeling of comfort. But they do need to get onto the arterials to run errands and go to the store and those type of things. So really that kind of demand and getting people out on their bikes, then that furthers the need to improve intersections and get specific protected bike lanes on things like Second Avenue and Westlake and other key streets in the city.
You alluded a bit to this earlier, but what is being proposed for parking and storage facilities for bicycles?
So a huge part of people's choice to ride their bike depends on whether they know they'll be able to have a safe and convenient place to store their bike once they reach their destination. So it's going to be great to have safe places to ride everywhere, but if we don't have a safe place to park our bike where we want to go, there's really no point in these new protected bike lanes and neighborhood greenways. So that's why bike parking is so important. There really can only be as many bicyclists as there are bike racks. And so just to put things in perspective, Portland has 100 bike corrals, and right now Seattle only has 13. So we have a lot of opportunity to really increase our bike parking capacities around the city.
We've really been alluding to this throughout the interview, but could you underscore what's being proposed in the 2014 plan to promote safety?
The primary focus of both SDOT, Seattle Department of Transportation, and the Bike Master Plan is to create a safe, comfortable network and to make cycling an integral part of transportation. And so really, I would say the whole plan, you know, boils down to safety, both those separating bikes from car traffic with the protected bike lanes or putting them on slower speed streets, doing the intersection improvements to reduce conflicts at those particular areas. Also education. They work with both Cascade Bicycle Club, where Michaela and I work, Seattle Neighborhood Greenways and Washington Bikes and other groups on how do we educate kids on how to ride? How do we educate adults on safety? How do we work with drivers and pedestrians? Really part of the Road Safety Action Plan that came online, I believe, in 2011 was creating a culture of empathy across the city. We're all trying to get to our destinations. How do we make sure that's safe and watch out for each other? And so really, the designs and the educational programs are all working towards that goal of making it not only safe, which I think we measure, you know, in terms of do we have a 911 call? Did someone get hurt? Did someone crash? But going one step further to that more qualitative, how do we make it comfortable so people are comfortable out riding their bike? But that is a key part. Cascade is really pushing how we adopt a Vision Zero and really push on that. And Vision Zero is looking at how do we eliminate serious injuries and traffic fatalities on our streets, all modes, whether car, bike, bus, pedestrian, and really focusing on that as a goal. We've seen car deaths go down over the years, but pedestrian and bike, which are a little more vulnerable users, have not dropped at that same rate. And so really, how do we design our streets? How do we do enforcement encouragement, all to create a more comfortable, safe environment for everybody in the city?
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Jeff Aiken, Principal Planner, and Michaela Dunphy, Commute Programs Assistant for the Cascade Bicycle Club. Our topic is the City of Seattle's 2014 Bicycle Master Plan. How much will it cost to implement the 2014 Bicycle Master Plan, and where will the funding come from?
Cost estimates around $400 million over the 20 years, ranges from $375 million to about $500 million on the costs. And it's hard to kind of tease out the exact numbers because of that $500 million there, benefits really to everyone on the road. It includes fixing curb ramps so people with disabilities can get across the street. It includes repaving of some projects. A lot of it's part of bigger road projects such as the 520, getting the Portage Bay bike trail. Part of the waterfront redesign includes bike facilities. Michaela and I have been working on a project over on 23rd Avenue, which is designed to both pave the street, increase transit on the 48 and other routes through there, predictability, and improve bike conditions along those corridors. But looking at $20 million per year times 20 years is the rough estimate. But we really think, as Cascade and I think all of the cycling and pedestrian organizations, it's really an investment in how Seattle gets around. And given our growth patterns, the least expensive way to combat congestion and make the city both accessible and increase mobility.
So has the city committed to the funding?
They have not. That will be the next phase of the Bike Master Plan. The Bike Master Plan really lays out that 20-year vision for what we want to accomplish, how we want to connect it. And so the next steps coming in the next 3 to 4 months will be laying out a 3 to 5 year prioritization process. What projects should occur? What makes the most sense in terms of that ridership, that equity, safety, and connectivity? And so prioritizing those and then looking for opportunities to get those projects funded and on the ground. And then the other challenge will be the larger catalyst projects, such as the Northgate Pedbike Bridge, improving the Ballard Bridge, West Seattle connections, those type of things.
What do you consider most positive about the 2014 Bicycle Master Plan?
It was really crafted by the people for the people. Like we're talking about this public engagement aspect of creating the plan and actual implementation of the plan is really huge. And in Seattle, we definitely pride ourselves in this public engagement, and that's something that's going to continue through the implementation process. And the plan is also designed for everyone, for all ages and abilities. So it's a really collaborative plan, and it's built to be consistent with freight routes and really the rest of the transportation network. So it's not just a plan for people who bike, it's a plan for everyone in the city.
One thing I was really excited about was, you know, adding in that equity component. So making sure that our investments in bike infrastructure and active transportation, you know, occur across the city, where we may not see as many people riding now, but once they have access to convenient and comfortable routes into the city, they'll have another transportation option.
In which ways do you think the plan could have been improved or can be improved?
Jeff and I were talking earlier about this, and we would have loved to see bike elevators maybe on Cherry Street or East Madison or something. But those didn't make the plan, you know, maybe in the next 100 years or so. But bike elevators are actually something that we see in some European cities. But it's really an incredible plan. One thing that could be improved really is just looking into ways where we can really kind of expedite the process. So 5 years is the new 20. What does this mean? Well, a lot of communities around the country are starting to build out entire networks in very short periods of time to really maximize the investment in routes. Because if we have a connected network, people are going to be able to ride their entire commute on some sort of protected facility where they're going to feel most comfortable.
What will be the main challenges in implementing the plan?
I think we touched on funding will always be a challenge. And one of the key parts of the plan that we haven't really talked about is there's 27 catalytic projects that are identified, and those really deal with the tough situations in the city, how you get across some of our waterways, how you get over I-5 in certain locations like the Northgate Pedbike Bridge, the Montlake 520 Interchange and Portage Bay Trail, or a couple examples, Ballard Bridge, but really figuring out how we get the funding to do some of those bigger projects that benefit everyone in the city because they'll have benefits across modes. I think that is one of the key challenges. And really, Seattle will be a leader in terms of protected bike lanes with our type of topography, more hilly terrain. So figuring out how we implement those on our hilly streets and get those going will be a challenge, but I think we're ready to dive in.
How will the success of the plan be measured?
There are both measurements around the 5 specific goals, such as having a comfortable bike facility within a quarter mile of everyone. There is that goal of 0 fatalities on our streets by 2035 as part of the safety and serious injuries. But more importantly, I think from Michaela and I's perspective is, you know, showing that culture that cycling is fun, that it's convenient. We see more people going across the Fremont Bridge and the million trips that Michaela referenced earlier, but just more people out there enjoying the city via bike, getting around, using it for some of their shorter trips, seeing if they can use it for their longer trips, and just having one more way to enjoy Seattle and the great city it is.
How does the 2014 Seattle Bicycle Master Plan compare to bicycle master plans in other U.S. cities?
Our plan is really one of the best in the country. I was in D.C. in March for the National Bike Summit, and I was talking to bicycle advocates all over the country. And I was talking to one advocate from Texas who was saying he's been keeping the Bike Master Plan draft in his back pocket just as reference as his city was starting to focus on drafting a new plan as well. So really what sets our plan apart is the focus on protected bicycle facilities. So our plan is the first in the country that's really been created after protected bike lanes really became popular in the United States. So that's really what sets ours apart, and that's what we're very excited about, to get that 60% of people who are interested but a little concerned out riding.
And we have seen in other cities that have started to implement protected bike lanes increases of ridership of 100%, 200%, depending on the city. I think in Chicago, 190%. And injuries go down amongst all users of the road. Business receipts have been up. So it really does start to change the city and the way we get around the city. I think it'll be exciting to see it be implemented.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Coming up, May is Bike Month, so we would love people to, it's a chance to dust off your bike and get out and try riding to work, try riding to a nearby destination. Cascade will have daily rides and events throughout the month of May. Our group on policy is doing Thursday happy hours and policy rides, where you get a chance to see some of the new infrastructure, talk about some of the proposed infrastructure that will be coming in the Bike Master Plan. And then Cascade and other groups, you know, we do daily rides every day, so a great opportunity to join other like-minded people and have someone show you around the city or your neighborhood on your bike. And we would love to have people reach out to us, and we can connect them with rides in their area or other opportunities to get engaged in the Bike Master Plan and just getting on their bike and experiencing the joy.
Yeah, May is just a wonderful time to start riding, whether it's for the first time or whether it's committing to ride a couple more days a week. So the weather's getting nicer. It's really the perfect opportunity to pick up biking or just continue with it. So big changes are coming in the next couple of years. So it's a very exciting time for Seattle.
Well, thanks so much to both of you for being here. You were just listening to Jeff Aiken, Principal Planner, and Michaela Dunphy, Commute Programs Assistant for the Cascade Bicycle Club. For more information, check on the web at seattle.gov/transportation/bikemaster.htm. Again, that's seattle.gov/transportation/bikemaster.htm. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on demand, and then podcasting. And just a quick note, the Northwest Green Home Tour, a free self-guided tour of green new homes and remodels in the Seattle area, is taking place Saturday, April 26th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. For information, go to nwgreenhometour.org. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on Listener Powered 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.